why bother with this whole faith thing? Why come to worship on a Sunday morning? What's your motivation this morning? I imagine typical responses may be along the following lines. I came to learn more about God, learn how to be a better person. I seek to make a difference in the world. Wonderful. Sound like great reasons to be here, to be engaged in faith. But what happens if you kind of blow the whole faith thing? What's your greatest fear about what's going to happen? If you walked away from faith and from God entirely, what would you be most terrified of? I'm assuming, because we're all gathered here together this morning, that most of us are open to the idea that there is more to life than the particles and the force fields that hold things together in the universe. I'm going to assume that this morning. I'm going to assume that we're on the same page in our pursuit of more, something beyond us, around us, in us, that leads us to think about God. Now, how we get our minds around God matters. It makes a difference in how we see the character of God, because it shapes our sense of what being faithful, what faithfulness looks like, what the Christian life looks like. We continue this conversation about what is the heart of Christianity. In your bulletins this morning, you'll notice an insert. And that's some information that you may want to look at now or you may want to look at later. It highlights some different worldviews, some ways of seeing the world. A worldview that I've just suggested is that there is more beyond us than we can see or touch or really know in ways that rationality has taught us we can know, that there is more. Presents some suggestions about concepts of God and the character of God. Things that flow from a particular worldview or perspective of why are you here this morning engaged in a conversation about faith. It makes a difference how we see the character of God because it shapes our sense of what it means to be faithful. For some, I imagine this morning, your greatest fear, if you just kind of blow off the whole faith and decide that you're going to move in some different direction in your life, is that eventually you'll pay some price, so to speak. Some people may describe that as being hell, either literally or figuratively. Likely, if you hold this perspective, you've been raised from a worldview, a view of religion and the church that describes God as being a God of requirements, a God of punishment, and a God of reward, a God of law, if you will. And so if you were to walk away from God, then you've got a big problem on your hands. A big problem, especially when it comes to an afterlife. Now, for many of us, this view has been ingrained in us so deeply that it's just part of who we are. It's been part of the life of the church for a couple hundred years, very clearly. In fact, for some of us, it's so ingrained that even the questions I'm posing this morning are dangerous. Better not go there. Better not ask those questions. Just keep doing what you're doing. Don't question what lies underneath or beyond or what's at premise. Just keep going. I think I was about 13 years old, maybe 14, when I began questioning, wondering. I grew up at a Presbyterian church in Toronto, a mainline denomination. Wasn't part of an evangelical or fundamental church. But this perspective of supernatural theism, it ruled the day. It was the worldview that was dominant, the concept of God that was dominant. Some churches that hold this worldview talk about you better get your life together and turn it around, or you're in trouble. What some Christian preachers preach, a turn or burn rhetoric. That wasn't part of the faith that I grew up with. But yet I struggled. I struggled with some of these concepts. Particularly, I struggled with the notion of forgiveness. It bothered me. I struggled with the idea that Jesus died as a sacrifice for my sins. It was something that I had to work through a lot. I know that when I'm really struggling with something, I often go to people around me who I feel safe with. I remember a conversation when I was about 13 or 14 with my younger brother, Eric, now a medical doctor. He went into a flurry of activity. We'd both grown up in the church. It was part of our life to help me to try to get it, to understand the point. I can imagine as a younger brother, he was probably going, what is this guy up to? Why is he questioning these things? Jeez, he's really screwed up. I wasn't fitting into the traditional story even then. And as it turns out, neither does Eric. Someone of deep faith who encounters life and death every single day in hospital, but yet has limited or no connection to a church. I struggled trying to understand this perspective. Grace didn't really seem like grace for me. I couldn't reconcile that God would punish someone forever because they didn't believe the right things. Some of you this morning in your pews are probably squirming, wondering, where is he going with all of this today? Some of it even sounds a little heretical, maybe. There's a sense of universalism in what he's saying. Axe murderers and warmongers better not be in heaven. Come on. Let me offer this about unconditional grace. I think it has less to do with some sense of an afterlife that we can get so focused on, and it's really about the basis of our relationship with God in this life, here and now. So is our concept of God about a God of law or God of grace? A God of rewards and punishments, or a God of relationships and transformation? What is at the heart of Christianity? What must you do to be saved, some preachers might ask? Is it a path that we follow? Is it a set of rules that we better not veer from in any way? Now, the sense of this earlier paradigm, this supernatural theism, is working for you, if it's making you more Jesus-like, then I say keep going with it. It's biblical, absolutely, grounded in Scripture. It's just not the only biblical way to view God. Our ancestors in faith understood very particularly this sense of sacrifice and reward and punishment. Part of a culture where sacrifice was a regular part of their world. It was part of religious cultic practices. I can understand, I can appreciate that perspective. I can respect it. But that perspective does not resonate with me. It's dissonant. It's not congruent. It doesn't connect with my experience of God. It becomes a roadblock in my relationship with God, my quest to know God, my quest to be more aligned with God in my life. There's another perspective. It's also deeply biblical. It's a view that says there's room for mystery and for awe and for wonder. It's a view that says we don't have it all figured out. God's not separate, distant, somewhere else, somewhere up there. But God is here, present now, all around us, even moving within us, and God is even more than here. Expansive, deeply personal. God is intentional of being present in the midst of our very lives, what we do each and every day. When I look at the world from that perspective, or that concept of God, I can see God at work. I can see God moving and acting. I've experienced the reality of God's presence in so many ways that were shocking and sometimes offensive and even hurtful and often beautiful and wonderful beyond my imagination. I don't claim to have any monopoly on the truth this morning or any day. But I offer my understanding based on scripture, experience, and reason. I offer a perspective on Christian faith that has grown and emerges from God and from who I am. My faith requires me to hold the premise that each and every one of you, all of you gathered here in this place today, holds some truth. Some truth that I do not have access to. But as I listen, as I learn, as I pray, as we live in community together, I might discover that truth that you hold. Together, we might discover that truth. We might discover the God that is within you, the God that is within me, the God that is moving and acting within us. If you're thinking this morning of leaving here and trying to move from one concept of God to another, know that making that shift is really hard work. If you're going to go on that journey, I'll go with you. Keep at it. It's worth it. If you're fine with an earlier paradigm and it makes sense to you, stay with it. It's biblical. If it gets you closer to God and into a fuller relationship with Jesus Christ, wonderful. If you can't live with that earlier paradigm, know that there's new ways forward. They've been part of the life of the church for 2,000 years. They're ways that are part of an ancient future faith. You can still respect what you were raised with. You can still respect those around you who resonate with that earlier perspective deeply. The songs and the verses, they still play a meaningful role. But the truth is, there's new songs too. There's a new perspective, different perspectives that bring life and love into our world in new ways. It's a shift. A shift from punishment and reward and law to covenant, to relationship, to transformation, and to love. The goal in all of this, the goal and why we gather this day, is to discover a deeper, more meaningful, more mature life in God, with God, from God. Not just as individuals, but as a whole gathered community together. A people who see God at work and moving, not just on Sunday mornings for 60 minutes, but in the midst of our everyday lives. And when we can discover God active and at work, moving, even mysterious at times, in the midst of all things, we discover a life that is rich, and a life that is deep, and we discover a profound sense of peace. It's my prayer for you, and also for me, that we each would discover what is at the heart of Christianity. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.